This is MSO Sports. I'm Rick Moore, talking now with St. John's Prep football coach Brian St. Pierre. And Coach, welcome back. How are you?
Rick, thanks for having me on. I'm doing really well. Hope you're doing well as well.
Oh, yes, I am. Thank you very much. I think this your 100th win, congratulations on that. This has to be, I know you've had a lot of satisfying wins, but this game over Catholic Memorial over the weekend on Saturday had to be one of the most satisfying, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was a great win, not because of 100. I mean, the 100 is a team achievement. That's staff and players that I'm blessed to work with, so keep that where it is. But I don't want to minimize it, but that's a team achievement, and I'd rather just think about the way we played in that game, the way the players played, and the way the coaches coached, and the week of preparation we had leading up to it all culminated in just a really, really gutsy performance against a great team and ultimately a win. So very, very proud of the group.
I want you to reflect on it for me, if you would, Coach, because, you know, CM, a major rival, a great team, and I think you've mentioned over the years they genuinely or usually have some of the best high school talent in the state, as most of the Catholic schools do, but CM seems to be a cut above sometimes. So considering last year, considering they're your rival, and considering what was on the line for prior to the playoffs, put this game in perspective for me. You know, tie all the loose ends together for me, Coach, because I know you mentioned in the paper that it was a culture win for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you just, it's not even statewide. They have the best talent in New England, and it's every year, and they have, I believe they have 7 or 8 guys with Division I FBS Power 4 scholarship offers. So there's just not a lot of teams walking around New England with that. Tremendously athletic. They're fast. They're huge. It's the biggest team I've ever seen on a high school field. You know you're going to get the great staff and a coach that's been doing it a long time. It's well documented how good of a coach he is. So we've had a ton of battles with him, and nobody's beat him more than we have. I think since he's come on at CM, that just evened us up at 5-5 since he came on. So we've had great battles with him, high leverage games, playoff games, Super Bowls, that type of stuff. And this one was extra special, just because the magnitude of the game. It was a homecoming game for us, beautiful day, and it was a huge crowd. And certainly they came in with a great, great team. But I just, the fight our guys showed and the way they executed and the work that they put in, I just think when I said the culture, it's a culture win, it speaks to it. Because if you look man-to-man, you know, we have a couple guys that could play for them, but a lot of our guys are not. We don't have a lot of 6'4", 6'5 guys 100 pounds like they do. But our guys got after them. And they just, they believe in what we do, and they believe in the weight room and the off-season workouts, and they believe in each other, and they believe in the staff. And sometimes it's irrational, but they do it, and it's led to really good results.
We mentioned in our pregame warm-up here, or at least I asked you about number 74 on CM, because on the streaming video he looked like a giant, and you were telling me he's a pretty big guy.
Yeah, he's a 6'9", 320-pound guy going to BC to play tackle. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, okay.
but not happy to see him on the schedule, but glad he's leaving. But a very good player. He's extremely athletic for a guy that size, too. But they had multiple guys, 6'5 and 6'6 and approaching 300 pounds. And you just, if it was about who gets off the bus looking the best, you might as well not show up. they're going to win that every time.
I'm going to link to Phil Stacey's write-up to give all the stats for our list, for our viewers. But Phil wrote something about Chris Vargas buying milkshakes for the linemen. I mean, I've heard of that in the pros, where a quarterback takes care of his offensive line. But that's new to me in high school. Is that something that's common?
I don't really know, but it doesn't surprise me. Chris is that type of kid. That's the type of team we have. We're a very close-knit team. The guys really enjoy being together. And to be quite honest, like, some of our linemen need those milkshakes to keep their weight up.
Okay. Smart kid.
You know, two birds with one stone type of deal. But, Chris is, he's a team guy. He knows at the quarterback position, and I know this certainly from my career, you're so dependent upon the other 10 guys around you doing their jobs. Because if they can't do their job well, ultimately it lands in your lap, and that's a lot to handle as one guy. You can't run routes for guys. You can't get them open. You can't block for yourself. Like, you need guys doing their job, and he appreciates that, and he understands that.
the game was pretty close in the second half. It looked like it was going to be close, but then I look up, I'm watching, I'm writing down and watching the streaming as well, and I noticed that you could have had 50 points in that game, and that's remarkable against against Catholic Memorial. But as you mentioned, you know, it's a two-way effort for your guys. There was one play I want to ask you about, Brian. The last play of the first half when CM had the ball, I looked up and it looked like they were going to kneel down. It went to the victory formation, and instead the quarterback ran with the ball. Now, I don't know if that was a gimmick play or not, but how do you prepare your kids for something like that? Because for me, just being a casual fan, my guard was down. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, we talk about end game situations, end of half situations. We knew what they were going to do, so the only thing that can't happen in that situation is it get behind you and in the end zone. There was only 7 seconds left, so mm-hmm. we were happy to let them run it and just rally and tackle it, no matter how many yards. They wanted to get some cheap yards at the end of half, so be it. It was more about don't you let them throw one behind us.
Mm-hmm.
They had some funky formation, so we know all week you don't let your guard down. You play every snap, you play every play to the whistle, and just line up and do it again. So there was no sense of nervousness on our sideline in that situation. It was just about tackle it and let's get into halftime and regroup.
You also said something about imperfect, your team being imperfect to Phil, but you qualified that. And I wonder if you'd like to tell us about that, because one thing I was taught by several different people was that, it's okay to seek perfection, but you're never going to be perfect. Instead, seek excellence and go for excellence. So what were you talking about when you said you're comfortable with being imperfect?
Yeah, it's just it's kind of who we are. I think if you look at us, we have some really good players, but we don't have a lot of flashiness to us. We're not the biggest team, and we're not the most athletic team. We have good athletes, but I think it's more speaks to, and I speak to the guys all the time, we're always chasing something. What are you chasing? And whatever you are chasing in your life, keep chasing it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think that is perfection, and you're never going to, but in the process, you can be pretty good at something. And it's just more about keeping that hunger and that chip on your shoulder and never being satisfied until the job's finished. And our guys buy that hook, line, and sinker, and they live it. And that's why I say, like, games like that, it's a cultural win. It's their belief in the staff, whether it's the coaches, the weight room staff, it's the medical people that support our guys, it's the administration, the school supporting the program. They have a lot of support. And I think the best thing you can say, my father always says it to me, and I appreciate it, is he says, the number one thing I see when I watch your teams play is they play really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, if that's what you think when you see us, that we play really, really hard, I'm good with that as a coach.
Yes.
I think we do.
Good teaching. Okay, 8 weeks have gone by so quickly, and it's incredible how you prepare for this all year long. You did get the number one seed, so you don't have to worry about an investigation. So tell me a little bit about your preparation for this week and what to expect from Framingham.
Yeah, not a familiar opponent. We're learning about them. We got some film on them. They're a scrappy group. They play in a really good league, the Bay State League down there. Big school, big program. So we're learning about them with no real past history that I know of anyway. But it's the playoffs. You're not going to face bad teams in the playoffs. So they're next, and they have our full focus, and we're just going to kind of keep it there this week. We've already moved on from CM. We're focused on Framingham and the next phase of our season, and this is where it gets really exciting. Not that the other games weren't, because our regular season was chock full of great opponents and big time atmospheres and big games, but this just gets to continue now into the playoffs. And I think especially the seniors, guys that have been here for a while, like, the end is closer than maybe they want it to be. You only have a month left. Even if you go to the Super Bowl, you got a month left max, so max it out. Mm-hmm. And make the most of it, and I think that's what we're going to focus on.
Coach, congratulations on another great year, and good luck the rest of the way. I'll talk to you next week. Good Lord, willing and the creek don't rise.
I appreciate it, Rick. Thanks for all the support of our program.
Thank you, Brian. Take care. That is Brian St. Pierre, who is the St. John's Prep football coach. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.